Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Broadcasting live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is WMVP, WSAG HD2, Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome to Miller Time, live from Stony Point Grill in Mokena. This is a Waddle and Sylvie Miller Time live broadcast.
Listen to Chicago's home for sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Love it here at Stony Point Grill. Great people out in the Mokena area. If you're out here in the south suburbs, come on out and see us.
Beautiful day.
Well, beautiful day. Beautiful everything. We're out and about. You, me, even JR, who's next to us.
Yes.
We are out of COVID. Ice cold Miller Lite. We'll give away Sox tickets in a little bit. Do we know the games, Sonny? Sonny, do we know which games we're giving away?
Wow. Red Sox, one Yankees game.
So the Yankees game is for this weekend? All right, so we've got a pair of tickets.
One four-pack.
1 4-pack for Sox-Yankees this weekend. Got to be present to win, right? And another four-pack of White Sox-Red Sox. There you go. These are prime seats. So come get yours, your chance to win at Stony Point Grill. We'll draw sometime in the mid 5 o'clock hour or so. We got Smashing Pumpkins tickets to give away in 1 hour from right now. The Billy Corgan interview will be the subject. We'll ask you a trivia question from that interview. If you want to hear a guy who knows his music for sure and is a rock and roll legend, an alternative music legend, one of my favorite guys.
Were you surprised to hear him say he doesn't eat after a certain time for a show?
No.
Because he sings better on an empty stomach.
Right.
I would think the food in your belly would give you fuel, but maybe not.
That's true. Like 9 hours, I think he said, or 10-hour fast.
Yeah.
That's a long time, so I would have think like 4 hours maybe before. But, hey, his voice is one of the most distinctive voices in music history, really.
Now I mean, know why, because he's hangry.
Because exactly.
He's hangry.
Good point,
Jay.
He's hangry.
That's where he gets it from.
Yeah. That's great. That's very good. All right. So come on out to Stony Point Grill. You could watch us also on Twitch. Hello, Twitch. We've got the Waddle and Me shot. JR, no you in the picture today, huh? You did a zoom in?
Yeah,
no one
no one needs to see me, really. No.
So JR is just, you could see him in the chat. You can go to twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Mustache rides will be off camera, not on camera.
Off camera. And it is brought to you by Brothers Bond Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Thank you to their support all week long on the Twitch channel, the Twitch chat, all the fun that happens on a daily basis right here on ESPN 1000. So many different ways to listen, and Twitch is the way you can listen and watch the show. And if you want to converse with other listeners and with us, you can do that too. All right, so do you know what I mean when I ask the question as we watch Jimmy Butler advance to another Eastern Conference Finals?
He's doing it. In a large part on his own. I think Kyle Lowry was out last night again, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, and he does have a lot of good players still around him. But he was, as Brian Windhorst put it, he was the best player in the series. We're seeing the highlights right now. And he can cut you in so many ways. He can get to the hoop. He can get to the free throw line. He doesn't take a lot of threes these days, but he made some important threes. What, did he have a 35 or 36 last night? He had a 40-point game in this series. But when I ask you the question...
Yeah, he had 32 last night.
32. When I ask you the question, can Zach develop what Jimmy has? Do you know what I'm alluding to?
Well, he's not going to be a two-way player the way that Jimmy is.
Right, right.
Is that what you're referring to?
No, referring to the killer.
The killer that Jimmy is.
Now we're seeing.
I don't believe that Zach has that. Now, maybe wrong, But 7 or 8 years in, wouldn't that manifest itself in something like what you've seen from Jimmy? Now, I would also say, what is Jimmy's greatest trait sometimes works against him.
Absolutely. You know, and he can be the diva. There's a fine line between having demands and being the dog and being a work hard guy and then being a diva and not leading.
And being divisive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the one thing about, and you see it with Embiid, with Jimmy, and Embiid's love for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because, and he was going in the locker room, did you see, when he was saying, You picked Tobias Harris. Think of Elton Brand.
Tobias Harris over me?
Think about the damage they could be doing, because they felt they had so much in a young Simmons, in Tobias Harris, in Embiid, and they wanted to pay Simmons, and then they kept Harris. They couldn't pay Jimmy. Think if they would have gotten rid of everything, traded some stuff, and kept Jimmy and Embiid as the centerpiece. Think about, as far as a pairing, how good that would be.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think Embiid, unfortunately for Embiid, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. But he's a great player. He plays hard. He plays with, you know, with an edge that team needs.
And that's why he appreciates Jimmy more. So they had a long embrace. They both raved about each other. Jimmy said, I wish I was still with him. Like he said, I love it in Miami. Yeah. I wish I was still with Embiid. Embiid knows. Embiid had to go through the whole Ben Simmons drama about a guy can play. Is he hurt? Is it mental? What is it? And then he gets Harden, who's out of shape, and he's saying this isn't the same James Harden anymore. He looks like he's an old fat guy at the Y.
You know, I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. he's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, yeah, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive, all of us, whether it's Tyrese or Tobias or, you know, guys coming off the bench.
Maybe too many threes, too, for Embiid. But the point is even though Jimmy's a diva, and we've documented it on this show, I love Jimmy, but Nick told you the story, the year where he chose, instead of getting dressed in the locker room with his teammates, he isolated himself in the training room. Very Hollywood-ish. He, you know, the divas, or the three alphas, sort of. It was Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, and the rest of the team. But, man, he works his ass off.
He does.
He works his ass off, and now after Embiid, and I'm sure Embiid appreciated him at the time. He didn't have him in a large dose. It was a short time in Philadelphia. But he sees what he's dealt with in Simmons, and he sees what he's dealing with now with Harden, and he says, man, if I could, even though there are warts there and he could be held against him, and so can Zach. Zach can play defense better. We've seen that when he's healthy. He's never going to be a defensive player. But can he be an assassin? And Jimmy's an assassin.
I don't think he can. You haven't seen that trait in him in 7 years in the league. Jimmy's always really had that trait. He's honed his other skills and taken his game to another level. Zach's got that same level of scoring ability that has always been present. He has become a better defender. I have never looked at Zach play and say, man, he's a killer. Now, again, I don't mean that to be overly critical.
So is that either something you have or you don't?
I think in some ways.
Can that be developed?
Yeah, I think it is in some ways. I think didn't Embiid also talk about P.J. Tucker and a player of his caliber and his style? Like, you need some meanness. You need somebody that will set a tone and bring some attitude. The thing that Jimmy does is he does all of that, and he's also a guy that can put 32 on you at the same time.
Yeah.
Jimmy's an interesting player. I probably always undervalued him a little bit.
Yes.
But I think Jimmy outwears his welcome pretty quickly, too.
See, and then, like, I think there are a lot of people with you. I was going with drinking some wine last night with the Wine Fingers. You know, I was texting about Jimmy or tweeting about Jimmy a little bit. And I feel like wherever he goes, he's won. And yes.
Never won at all, but won.
He's won. And like, the examples I use, when's the last time the Bulls won a round in any postseason?
Jimmy was on the team.
2015 Bulls with Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose as the two main players.
Well, okay, you're right, but the key there is Derrick Rose as well.
But that wasn't the same Derrick.
True, but still was, Derrick is
right,
Derrick.
Of course, yeah. Of course. And then when Jimmy left, look at what the Bulls did after that. They went 7 years without even making the playoffs, and yeah. They still only won one game this year. So he goes to Minnesota. He's Tibbs' guy. He goes there for that year, and they end this playoffless streak, and they get to the postseason for the first time in a lot of years there. And then the next year, in the beginning of the year, he's holding out, and he wants that new contract. Remember that controversy? He wants the new max deal. And again, wears out his welcome, and they end up having to trade him to Philly. But then what happened to the Timberwolves after that?
They fell.
They fell. They totally collapsed, even with the talent. Tibbs gets fired. They go into a new rebuild, and now they're finally coming out of it now. It took them another handful of years to come out of it. Better with Jimmy. Team falls apart when Jimmy leaves. He goes to Philadelphia. Philly gave Toronto the year Toronto won the championship. I forget if that was the conference finals or the conference semis. I think it was the semis.
That's the play where Kawhi makes the shot that looks like there's no chance it's going in. It bounces twice and goes in at the buzzer.
Yes. That puck luck that we talked yes. about with the Cubs.
Yes.
And even in basketball. I know that's a hockey term, but it's those bounces that all sports give you. Football, yeah. You see it too. The tuck rule with Brady. Like, think of what would Brady be if he didn't start with the tuck rule and they ruled that a fumble? I'm sure he'd still be great. But
right.
I mean,
it was the start of something.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, absolutely. Does Bledsoe then start the next year as the starter because Brady didn't get to go on that run?
Yeah.
There are a lot of what-ifs with the puck luck. But the point is, he leaves Philadelphia. They choose Tobias Harris. Philly can't get out of their own way.
Why did they choose Tobias Harris over Jimmy?
I think sort of like how the Bulls felt, and always everyone's underestimated him, where they didn't know, like, the Bulls didn't want to give Jimmy that max deal. Philly, it was a really huge deal in Miami. Everyone's tweeting today about his contract in Miami. Pat Riley gave him this deal where at the age 36, I think it is, he's going to make $54 million. Pat Riley knows that's going to be not a good value, but it's all worth it now. The last year of that deal is going to look terrible at the time, but it's all worth it now for a chance to win the title.
I would think, too, that Jimmy Butler's a Pat Riley kind of player as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's heat culture. It's what. So wherever he goes, they're better with him. And whenever he leaves, that team really has it bad. So, and like what I always say about Jimmy being a self-made guy, he didn't grow up with the God's gift ability like LeBron did. He developed himself into a great player. I do believe when we measure Zach, that every time, and even though I was disappointed by him, we would always say, well, Jimmy can't get any better. And yet he continues to show he gets better. He's worked on his craft. While Zach may not have the killer gene or may never be the killer or the assassin that Jimmy is, I do believe it's silly to think that this is the best of what Zach has to offer. I think if he's healthy, he can reach another level as a player. Much like,
I think that's fair. I mean, I think that he was a willing defender early in the year. And for whatever reason, whether it was the knee or something else, I think what ended up happening, he had to choose. I can't go full speed or all out on both ends of the floor. Where am I most effective? And that would be on the scoring end. I mean, maybe that's being too simplistic, but it feels like that's what happened to him because the effort defensively, or at least the buzz defensively, wasn't there in the second half the way it was in the first half. Can he get better? I think he can make improvements, but if you're looking for him all of a sudden to have that killer gene the way that Jimmy does, I don't think that just appears, 8 years into an NBA career.
Tyler asked the question. Meller, you could weigh in here, too. Tyler asked a question in his email today. He did double work. Is Jimmy at the front of the class now about the one that got away from Chicago, currently of active players? Greg Maddux is always going to be that one guy. But for Cubs fans, it may be Cease and Aloy. Guy's got a Greg Maddux jersey on here. Cubs jersey, 31. Yeah, that thing's retired now with him and Fergie. So Greg Maddux is sort of like was the one that I think Lou Brock, I always was told, we traded Lou Brock.
One that got away to me usually has a ring attached to it. Maybe Jimmy gets that ring this year. I wouldn't bet on it. I would think that the winner of the series between the Bucks and the Celtics is the team that is going to ultimately represent the East, but I could be wrong. I would think if you're putting that, the one that got away tag on a guy.
Current actor, because I'm trying to think who has the ring. I think for Sox fans, it's Fernando Tatis.
Yes, that's it.
For Cubs fans, it's Aloy slash now Cease. I'm trying to think. For the Bulls fans now, it's Jimmy.
Probably so.
For Bears fans, is it Mahomes?
Boy, he was never yours, though.
But he very well could have been because
he could have, but he wasn't.
Different thing. That's like the passing over.
But he's still the one that got away in the sense that, you know, your GM selected the same guy at the position.
Here's my question for you. Had he stayed,
it stings the most of anyone on that list, Meller. It stings the most.
At some point, regardless of who was in charge and who was coaching the team, would Jimmy have worn himself out and worn the situation out and been launched anyway a few years down the road? Maybe he's a different guy now. I don't know. Like I said, he basically had Udonis Haslam wanting to fight him on the floor 3 weeks ago. And Spoelstra was actually just beside himself with what Jimmy. That's just who
he
is.
Right.
You know, so you're going to have to live with that.
Like a lot of NBA guys are, like, you know what's going around with LeBron is what does Windhorst say now? And he's publicized this a lot. After 4 years of dealing with LeBron, you get tired of him and all of his demands. A lot of these stars are like that. I mean, Kevin Durant, you know, look at Kyrie. Kyrie doesn't. He's so talented, but yet he wears out his welcome after a year.
Well, that's because he's not even available most of the time. Jimmy's always available. He's just a red ass.
Right. And he works his ass off. And then good one by Big Earn. Like, this one sticks for Hawks fans, Meller. He says this in the Twitch chat. It's the bread man, Panarin. Like, Panarin, like, you thought O'Kane and Panarin are going to be playing together forever. And they decided to get rid of him then and bring Saad back.
I'll give you a Bears one that you've heard the good kid and I talk about a bunch, and it may fly under the radar, but Keenan McCardle was a player that if you look back in recent times, somebody that was actually under your control, on your roster, that went on to greatness somewhere else, and it's just because you didn't as an organization recognize that greatness, Keenan McCardle is a perfect example of that with the Bears.
And we never found it.
Never.
You knew, and what makes that even more nauseating is that you and Wendell Davis,
you told us
the story just recently, that you're standing there going, this dude's going to take our jobs, but yet the coaches didn't know that.
Yeah.
How the hell did that happen?
No idea. One of the best route runners, if not the best route runner I've ever seen up close and personal.
Someone on Twitch said, Raphael, like, if we're going long term, like the question that Tyler asked was currently. I think we hit the current ones. I'm trying to think who else is out there. I mean, of course, now for Cubs fans, it's not just Cease and Aloy. It's every one of their 2016 good players.
Right.
You know what I mean?
As much as you love Jimmy as a player, you're never going to win an NBA title with him as your overall number one, are you? He needs to be a guy that has somebody else. He needs an Embiid, like most guys do. Most guys can't do it by themselves.
Jimmy does?
Yes.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. That's right.
He'll prove it. You need to be really good in all the areas with Jimmy. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But he does show you that he can be the best player in a playoff series.
He has been that for the Miami Heat. He was the best player against the Hawks as well in round one.
Right. And with Trae Young. A little Cav, who's always a good participant, nailed a good one. Greg Olson.
Yeah.
I mean, that one for Bears fans, I mean, that isn't like the Mahomes one where he never was. Greg Olson had his faults. He didn't block. But again, to just get rid of a pass-catching tight end and then become a Carolina Panther legend, like, they love that guy there. And we still can't find a tight end.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a kick in the nuts.
It is. This is the kick in the nuts conversation.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't feel like Jimmy is loved. We'll ask Wilbon that question about Jimmy. And can Zach develop what Jimmy has? Or is that just something that you're born with and you can't do anything about it. You can work on lots of parts of your game, but you can't do that. We'll talk to Michael Wilbon coming up next. As we're here at the Stony Point Grill in Mokena, I had a great ride over here. And obviously I'm driving my RAV4, my brand new RAV4, sitting out there in the parking lot. Absolutely love it. These long drives don't bother me because I love the car. It's got all the tech. We did a conference call in there, too, on the team's chat, getting ready, and the miles per gallon is outstanding. I get about 40 miles per gallon these days. I've got the hybrid. First time I've ever driven one of the Toyota hybrids, and they're the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. I don't have to tell you, and with summer, gas prices always go up anyway, but they've been going up and up and up. I mean, the anxiety of filling up the tank and seeing the price and then being back there not even a week later. Like, when you got a Toyota, you don't have to worry about that as much. Save money with style. Head to your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. They've got everything you want. They're the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. Len Casper drives a RAV4 and has done so for several years. Toyota.com, check out what they have to offer. Your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places.
Live from Stony Point Grill in Mokena, this is a Waddle and Sylvie Miller Time live broadcast. Listen now on 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, or ESPN 1000.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, we'll do this on a Friday. I know he's working tonight with the NBA. Waddle, he's brought to you by your guys, as always.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland shapes big.
Happy weekend, Michael. What's going on?
Happy weekend. Where are you guys? Mokena, where are you?
So we're at a place called Stony Point Grill with a lot of our listeners and a lot of our fans giving away Sox tickets.
Can you believe we have fans, Michael?
Yes, I know you have fans. I'm just trying to figure out where they are. What town are you in?
Mokena. So south. It's a far south suburbs here. Right
it
off of 80.
It must be way south. It
right
must
off
be
of
south
80.
Of, right off of 80. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just checking. Want to make sure you guys
aren't looking for a large, Mike, we're looking for a large plot of land to put a giant new Bears stadium on.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
well,
we're
I'm
site
sure
serving.
You can find it. I'm sure that family will be happy to you move it 50, 60, 80, 120 miles out of town. Go to Iowa. There'll be enough dopes apparently to follow you out there too.
Yeah, that's
hey,
fine.
Can I ask you a question on that topic before we get
that's
to the
good.
NBA?
Sure.
We've had this conversation recently, and for some reason, I don't know how it came to be. But
because of Greeny.
Yes.
So you could bust Greeny's balls when you see him.
That's right. About whether or not Chicago going forward, obviously, you know, that Cardinals were here as the Bears were at the same time. But is Chicago a town that you believe – we'll have a second football team if, in fact, the NFL expands.
No, never. No, 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 no. I mean, the Chicagoans put 64,000 people in Soldier Field. Let's not get crazy. No town needs a second football team. New York doesn't need one. I mean, the Jets are a joke. They're nothing. They're nothing. No one identifies with them at all. It's a Giants town. I mean, you got Greeny as a Jets guy. Greeny's the most identifiable Jets fan there is. No, Chicago doesn't need a second anything. Chicago needs to find a general manager and a team president that can make one decent move in an offseason. Why don't we do that? Why don't we get somebody to block for the new quarterback or throw to for him to throw to before we go worrying about a second franchise?
So well, it's a really good point. The only thing is if the NFL does expand, there's talk about going to Europe, of course, but we were having the discussion about where one of the new franchises may find itself and whether or not Chicago would be a destination.
No. And it doesn't need to go to Europe. Nobody in Europe cares about the NFL. I mean, this is what happens when we in the media have to turn over our resources and platforms to a sport that wants to be in the news headline 365 days a year. Some of us go to Europe. We don't have to take the word for it. okay? I go to Europe a lot of summers. And let me just tell you, ain't nobody in Europe pining away or even asking for an NFL game. I don't mean some expats. I don't mean some servicemen overseas who are happy to give whatever we can give them. I'm talking about Europeans. They've got their football. It's called soccer. Okay? They don't care about it. The reason why the other league worked in Germany for a while, you had like 250,000 American servicemen stationed there at one point. That isn't the case anymore. More importantly, they don't care about our football. They don't. And so this is not like my opinion. This is a fact. Otherwise, it would have been there already. But the NFL jealously looks at, and it's the only thing NFL is jealous about because they're jealous about nothing domestically. But they look at international soccer, and they look at the NBA, and they even look at the NHL. They look at these sports. They have streams of revenue internationally, and they want in on the action. Well, they're not going to get in on the action. They can put as many games over there as they want. It's not going to replace or even nudge aside soccer, not for a day.
Well, my Michael, we do get calls, Waddle and me, Cap and Hoodie, Carmen and Yurko, Black and Abdallah from London, and people who are from there and live, breathe Bears football because that's the team that they've adopted and could talk Bears as much as anybody. So I don't know if, like, I'm not saying that there's a large population. I don't know, but there are people who thirst for the NFL there that are from there.
There's a handful of people, maybe a couple of handfuls. Yes, because they stop me when I'm in London and I see somebody walking down the street with a Bears hat on. And they go, oh, my God, you know, we know you're from Chicago. That's fine. There's no footprint. There's no footprint for American football, not the SEC, not the NFL. They don't have it. And if you think they have it, just go be there on the last week of August and see what happens when the Premier League starts up. It's probably against the law to mention another sport that week. They're not paying attention to the NFL in any numbers that matter. Not that it mattered so far. Can the NFL create that interest? It hasn't. I don't think so, but it hasn't so far.
I'm skeptical as well. I think it's kind of a novelty now. There's three or four games there, but what happens when a team is going to play nine home games there?
Nothing.
Will there be enough
Nothing's
going
to happen.
Yeah.
No, that's not what they care about. They've cared about a couple of things for more than a century and longer than we've got anything except Major League Baseball, and that would be soccer and golf. These things go back, you know, more than 100 years in each case, golf 400 years. But no, it's just not. And anybody can, like, you know, feel free to see what the footprint of the NFL is in Europe in any time relative to soccer. There's no footprint.
All right, let's get to the NBA. Waddle and I just had a discussion about Jimmy Butler. And, of course, he's one that got away, and everywhere he goes, they win. Now, he hasn't won at all, but then when he leaves, they're usually way worse off without Jimmy. I was asking the question, as we stand here with Zach LaVine entering free agency, I know he'll never be a two-way player. I'm not asking you about his defense. This is sort of like what you've talked about having. You want a dog on the Bulls, someone who is just an assassin. Can Jimmy can Zach develop what Jimmy has as far as being more of an assassin, or is that just something you're born with?
No, I mean, you can develop it. Jimmy didn't have that when he entered the league. I was there draft night. I walked around with Jimmy Butler on draft night. And he was saying, literally, hey, I'm just here to try and help slow down LeBron James. That's the value I have coming in here as a rookie. And then look how he evolved. So, no, there's evolution. Does Jimmy have that DNA? Yes, he already had it, that part in him. But he had to evolve. He had to develop. There's two things that Zach doesn't have that Jimmy had. A penchant for defense. You think Zach LaVine, at any point in his life, his first thought was, I'm just here to stop the other team's future Hall of Fame scorer? You think that's been Zach's thought process?
Nope.
No, it hasn't been. And does Zach have that sort of nastiness in him that Jimmy can have? Jimmy can have it toward teammates. I mean, that's why Jimmy's not in Minnesota anymore. And Philadelphia did a stupid thing. I mean, they valued you know, Harris, and they valued whoever they valued, Ben Simmons, over Jimmy Butler, which turns out to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So does Zach have those things? Is he made of that? No, that's not what he's about. So, no, he's not going to be, you know, the second coming of Jimmy Butler. Now, what's interesting is Zach can be a winner. He could be on a winning team and bring different ingredients. I've heard talk already about the Lakers being interested in Zach LaVine. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see if that continues to develop as we get, you know, toward the end of these playoffs and the beginning of free agency.
Why doesn't Jimmy find a full-time home somewhere, Mike? Does he wear out his welcome? What is it about Jimmy?
Jimmy's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, that's like Chris Paul. One of the great descriptions of Chris Paul came from Devin Booker, who after one day of practice knew he loved Chris Paul. But he said, Chris is not for everybody. And that's the case. They don't need to find a permanent home. For what? They're trying to win. And both those guys, I mean, neither one has won yet. And Chris has been in it longer than Jimmy. But, you know, those are two guys I'd have on my team. I'd ride with those guys. And, you know, I don't care if they've won or not. They're two of my favorite all-time players are Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler.
What about the disappearing act of James Harden, old man basketball last night?
Ooh. I mean, how can you pay him anything? Why would you want to have him on your team? And who's going to want to have him? We just had Brian Windhorst on as we take the segment for PTI, and it's probably running about 5 minutes. And one of the things we talked about, I said to him, Brian, do you expect to see James Harden at whatever cost in a Sixers jersey next year? He said he expects to see it, but he sees some scenarios where that might not happen. I'm just like, wow. I mean, he just quit. He quit last night. He didn't try. He didn't try to chase down a guy after he committed a ball-handling error. Didn't even try to chase him down. You're in an elimination game. You're at home. You have forced your way off two teams to get onto this team. You are playing with a guy who's one of the top three players in the league for runner-up vote, for MVP voting. And you don't even have the professionalism to give back after you commit another stupid turnover. I wouldn't have James Harden near my team at this point. Because in the best of times, he was a liability during the playoffs. In the best of times, he would do stuff like, you know, miss 13 straight threes and keep chucking them. I wouldn't want him on my team then, not in the playoffs. And so now I want him to do what?
Yeah, the last two games have been an indictment, not just on Harden, but to any general manager who feels like that's got to be
the missing piece.
The missing piece to what you're trying to do. Based on what
the money that he's going to command.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I wouldn't give him a cent.
Based on what you've seen so far in the Eastern Conference, do you believe that the Heat will advance and represent the East? Or do you believe the winner from the Bucks and Celtics series has the edge?
You know, I don't know about edge. It's just a great series. I will say the one thing, I'll pop my jersey a little bit. Starting the first night of countdown, I think the first night, we talked about who we expected to see in the conference finals. And I said mine was Miami versus Milwaukee. Do I believe Milwaukee's going to win tonight? I don't know, man. I don't. But I'm still got half that right, the Miami part. I'm waiting on the Milwaukee part. But either one of those teams, any one of those three teams can represent the East in the finals. Boston, Milwaukee, or Miami. I don't see any team not only having an advantage, I don't see any difference. You know, Boston could have a little something. You know, they're like 4-11 in games decided by 3 points or less this season. 4-11.
Yeah.
So there's something about clutch time that reveals them as not being as clutch. And so I want to see how that maybe plays out again tonight or in Game 7 on Sunday. But, you know, any of those three teams, to me, I can't sit here and say to you, oh, I think this team is better than the other one. How can you? I mean, Miami was in the finals 2 years ago. They got a complete ensemble, particularly if Kyle Lowry is back and healthy. And we know what Milwaukee is, the defending champs. And the Celtics should have won this series already 4-1. But they're still in it.
Right.
They're still playing a series that they should have won. So, you know, I mean, those are three worthy teams that could represent the conference and also win the championship.
How about in the West, Mike? How saucy is the Booker-Luka matchup. Like, I know they don't always find themselves on each other, but there seems to be a general dislike between two of the more entertaining players in the league.
I hope it's real, because we could be seeing that for like 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are, Booker's, what, 25? And Luka's 22 or 23? I mean, you know, 23, I guess. I mean, those guys could be at it for a long time. I don't know. I don't suspect that it's like the Pistons and the Lakers or the Pistons and the Bulls. I don't see that yet.
It doesn't exist anymore in the NBA, does it?
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. I mean, that kind of serious dislike. I mean, you could have developed that if Harden had stayed on one team. And, you know, guys move around so much now that you don't have – you really don't have the conditions existing where you can just hate somebody for 12, 15 years. But that's why I don't know about Booker and Doncic. But that's something I know Devin well enough, and I talked to him enough, even a little bit in the offseason, where I can't wait to explore that one, to ask him what the real deal is between him and Luka.
I could picture you, Michael, the last couple of days you've been in front of your computer screen just dying to find out all the NFL schedules, right? Did you throw a schedule release party yesterday?
You know, as you guys know, the only thing more stupidly overrated than the NFL draft, and my thinking about that is, if you're an institution that can't identify Tom Brady, what the hell do I need with you? If you can't identify Tom Brady, what's your use? The draft. Okay, so the schedule release party, the single dumbest thing ever. We know exactly who all the teams are playing. Like, 3 years in advance, at least. 3 years in advance, or is it longer than that? We already knew. We know all the Bears' opponents. So what do I care whether they're playing them on October 18 or November 18? Who gives a damn? But yet multiple networks, because people will do anything in this country for pro football, they will throw something, and people will say, oh, yeah, that we're going to get hyped. Can't wait till that happens. Because Russell Wilson is going to play his old team. We knew the moment that Russell Wilson was traded, he was going to play his old team. Because we knew that Seattle and Denver would be playing each other.
But not in the opener, not his first game. And now we go, Mike.
And so what? Don't tell me. Listen, if Tommy wanted to be overhyped about that stuff, he made a living in that league, I'd let him be. Sylvie, if I hear you slurping the NFL because you know on the date of which somebody's playing versus the next week, I'm going to be sorely disappointed in you.
They don't even – the funny thing is, Mike, is they don't even need to pander because they have a monopoly. Like, there's nothing in the world of sports or entertainment in our country that holds a candle to the NFL.
It's brilliant business, though.
We're
talking about matchups on May 13th.
Absolutely. I mean,
and yet, here's the amazing thing. You know how I always say the greatest Jordan story, the greatest Michael Jordan story ever, is when he said that LeBradford Smith said to him, "Nice game, Mike," and he torched him for 37 points in the half the next night. And the incredible thing is not only that Michael made himself believe it, but he made the Bullet team that LeBradford Smith, he made them believe it. So not only is the schedule hype amazing, is that they make millions of dopes believe they're getting something new. They're getting something like exclusive. So they make them, and they appear to make themselves believe it. So really, really talented, smart people like Sheffy, come on. Sheffy can tell you the schedule for three seasons from now.
Well, not all of them. Remember, there are a lot of the results-based teams on there, but I get you.
Yeah, but I'm saying, then we can go back to at least the last game, week 17 or 18, whatever the hell it is.
Then we know.
We can go back months. We can go back 5 months to the end of the regular season and know everybody you're playing. And yet, the NFL and our bosses and the network partners, they can present this as like breaking news. It is unbelievable what dopes people are. And they do have a monopoly, and they still can pander and probably create additional revenue streams. That's why they're trying to get it in Europe. That's why, except the dopes there don't care about their product.
All right, good. I knew I could get him to rant. I knew it. Michael, great stuff. We appreciate you. We'll be watching this weekend, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. I knew I could get him. And then talking about me slurping? What? Yeah. Come on now.
Well, we all slurp the NFL a little bit. Rightfully so. It's delicious.
It is. I celebrated it. We're all, hey, look at this video from this
JR's
team.
JR's got some in his beard. Got some NFL in your beard, JR.
I'm sorely disappointed. You didn't ask him about the finale of Winning Time, man.
If we had more time, I would have done it.
He would have come through
Larry
the phone.
Larry Bird. Hey, Michael, do you want a spinoff with the Larry Bird character? We want the Now We Need the Celtics simultaneously. Season 2 of Winning Time Lakers, Season 1 Winning Time with the Celtics.
Yes! Kevin McHale could be a Frankenstein monster.
That's crazy. I'm interested to know who's your favorite character now that you've had the chance to see all 10 episodes.
We did that, yeah. Do you want to do that in What to Watch For? We could do that next. Let's do that in What to Watch For as well with our recommendations. 5 o'clock, we'll talk some White Sox and Yankees. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We are out in Mokina's Stony Point Grill. Join us. It's Miller time.